Good morning. Perhaps you've, well, not perhaps, I'm sure you've heard that my alma mater, The Ohio State University, won the national championship in football a couple months ago. And I found out yesterday that the Ohio State wrestling team won the NCAA national championship. And so you can imagine the shock I had. I was shocked when the number 2 seed Arizona Wildcats beat the Buckeyes yesterday in the NCAA tournament. It's March Madness. I thought maybe they would run the table, but not to be. I'll have to wait till football season, I suppose. But it's good to be up here this morning. I don't normally get to be up here for the 11:15 service. I'm normally downstairs with the third, fourth, and fifth graders. My name's Brian Miller, if you don't know me. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm not a natural descendant of Abraham. I'm not Jewish like Rabbi Glenn Harris. Always love it when he comes to speak. But I've been reflecting on this concept lately, that I'm a child of Abraham. And in Sunday school, that's what we've been going through. We've been going through an Old Testament series and how Christ is the key that unlocks the Scriptures. We've been going through the covenant that God made with Abraham and all the promises that he made him. And we've looked at Abraham's descendants and their stories and how Christ is the key to unlocking all of that and understanding it. Back in Genesis chapter 12, most of you are very familiar with this. God said to Abram, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And a few chapters later, God says, I'm going to make your offspring as numerous as the stars in the heavens. And several years later, Abram and his wife Sarai, they still have no children. He's 99 years old. Sarah's, I think, 10 years younger. And God tells him, you will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And Abraham believed him. And miraculously, God finally did give Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age, Isaac. It's a miracle baby. And God's promises to Abraham, his covenant with Abraham, was established through Isaac. Abraham passed on his faith to his son Isaac, and God repeated this promise several times. Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. And to Isaac, God repeated that same promise. Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. And of course, we know in the New Testament that ultimately the offspring that God was talking about, through whom all nations of the earth would be blessed, was Jesus Christ. In fact, he's introduced in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, the very first verse, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we also see in Galatians chapter 3, we covered that about a month ago here, that when God first made that promise to Abraham, Galatians 3:8 says he was really announcing the gospel in advance. The scripture foresaw, in Galatians 3:8, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. And so if you're a believer, you're a child of Abraham, aren't you? Even if you're not Jewish, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you're a child of Abraham. You're blessed right along with Abraham. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, what it means to us as Christians to be children of Abraham. And Abraham passed on his faith to Isaac. And no doubt, when Isaac saw the Lord come through for him at the last possible second, the Lord became Isaac's God too. And we know the story in Genesis. Isaac married Rebekah. godly people, no doubt, but they were lousy parents. And you know what? I think about that. I think if someone were to ask me and Wendy, what's been the thing that's humbled you the most in your Christian lives? I bet we'd give the same answer. And it's being parents. There's nothing like the humbling that you get when you're a dad or mom and you're raising your kids. And God has humbled me in these last 18 years. He showed me I have anger issues. I'm demanding and overbearing. I'm impatient. I can be downright mean. You know, who knew? Who knew? But God did. And he's revealed my true character to me through being a dad, and it's humbling. Right in front of the people that you want to have respect you the most, that's how God has humbled me. And maybe that's what God uses. Maybe parenting is the thing that God uses to make us humble. But, you know, God says over and over again in his word that he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you want to be humble, have kids. In fact, I suggest if you want to really be humbled, have 5 kids. But God will give his grace to the humble. Well, Isaac and Rebekah, they had twins, as we know, Esau and Jacob. And I imagine through years of raising them that they got humbled a lot. You know, when I read about Isaac, or when I read about Jacob, especially Jacob, I think, man, he's kind of a jerk, actually. But when Isaac and Rebekah were raising their sons, Esau and Jacob, I bet you they wondered if their sons would ever trust in the Lord like they had and like Abraham did. It's interesting, when Jacob deceived his father Isaac to get the blessing in Genesis chapter 27. We recently just went through this in Sunday school. In Genesis 27, by this time Isaac's old. He really can no longer see. And Isaac asked Jacob, how were you able to hunt and find and catch the wild game so quickly? And he thought he was talking to Esau. Jacob was deceiving him, and Jacob's response to him was, oh, the Lord your God gave me success. And I thought, that's interesting how Jacob worded that. The Lord your God gave me success. And I told the kids that really I don't think Jacob was really a true believer in the Lord at that point in his life. Maybe he was, but the Lord wasn't Jacob's God at that point. He was Isaac's God. He was the God of Abraham, of course, but not Jacob. And it leads me to my first thought about what it means to be children of Abraham. And it's this. It's been said that God doesn't have any grandchildren. You know, what's meant by that? Maybe you've heard of that phrase. What's meant by that is everyone must individually put his or her faith in Jesus to be saved. Everyone must receive Jesus in order to become a child of God. We just sung it in John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, Christ, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Just because you grew up in a Christian home, or just because you grew up going to church, just because your parents are Christians, that doesn't make you a Christian. That doesn't mean because your parents are children of God, that doesn't mean you're a child of God. God doesn't have any grandchildren. And neither does Abraham. At some point in our lives, each of us must come to that point where we realize we're sinners, we're lost, we can't do anything to save ourselves. We must come to that point in our lives where we come to appreciate what Jesus did for us on that cross. And we must personally receive him as our own Savior. I think that's what the Bible says. When we do that, we become born again, born into God's family. We become children of God. At that point in our conversion, the Bible says God actually adopts us as his children. We become children of God. God doesn't have any grandchildren. You're either a child of God or you're not. And in Sunday school, I asked the kids why they come to church. And their answers were, obvious. My parents bring me. And I asked them if they had made the Lord their God. And really, it's kind of a stupid question. No third grader comes to church on his own, of course. Their parents bring him. The Lord is their parents' God. But I asked them, have you made the Lord your God? For Jacob, it wasn't until later, after he left his parents' house, he had that encounter with God. The Lord said to Jacob, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And it was there that God passed on his blessing to Jacob and told him what he had promised Abraham and Isaac, that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I think that's in that chapter in Genesis chapter 28, that's when Jacob finally, I think, became a real believer in the Lord and finally made the Lord his own God. In fact, in Genesis 28, Jacob made a vow to the Lord, if you recall. He said, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that I give you, you give me, I will give you a tenth. Even in that encounter, Jacob's trying to make a deal with God. But I think that that is really where Jacob finally became a true believer and where he went from being a grandson of Abraham, physically speaking, to becoming a true son of Abraham. That's when Jacob became a child of God. He was still kind of a jerk, but he's now a child of God. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Secondly, we're children of Abraham, but how? How are we children of Abraham? The Bible makes it clear, through faith in Christ and through faith in Christ alone. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 4, I'd like us to spend some time in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, we learn that we're children of Abraham because our faith is in the Lord, just like Abraham's was. In Romans chapter 4, Paul even asked the question, what did Abraham learn in this matter? How to be right with God. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, Paul's quoting here from Genesis 15:6, and he says this, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Why was Abraham declared righteous? Why was he justified before God? Because of his faith in God. By faith. How are we declared righteous? How are we declared right in God's sight? It's by faith, just like Abraham. In fact, the Jews of Paul's day were saying, yeah, but Abraham was circumcised, so you Gentiles, you need to do that too. You need to do that in addition to your faith. Faith plus circumcision equals salvation to them. Isn't it faith plus works equals salvation? Is that it? How are we justified before God? That's what the Roman Catholic Church taught. That was really the biggest point of the Reformation in the 16th century, wasn't it? In fact, Martin Luther called this justification by faith alone as the article on which the church stands or falls. It's that important. How do you get justified in God's sight? How are you made right with God? Is that how it was for Abraham? Is that how he was credited as righteous? Verse 4 in Romans 4. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. Right? When you work, you get a paycheck that you've earned. Verse 5. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing, verse 6. When he speaks about the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. So is it faith plus works equals salvation? No. Abraham was credited as righteous because of his faith. It's really faith plus nothing equals salvation. Verse 9. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. For Abraham, faith in God plus nothing else equaled salvation. That God credited that as righteousness. And verse 11 continues, so then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. What does that mean to us? If you've received Jesus as your personal Savior, if you're trusting in him, then Abraham is your father. He is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised in order that righteousness might be credited to them. In fact, if you've trusted in Christ, you're as much of a child of Abraham as Rabbi Glenn Harris is, right? Faith plus nothing else equals salvation. If it were faith plus works, then grace wouldn't be grace, would it? If it were faith plus works, God would have an obligation to us based on what we've done, like a wage. But no, salvation is a gift of God. It's his grace, and we receive that through faith, by trusting in him, by trusting in his grace and what he's promised. Third thing that I thought about what it means to be a child of Abraham is this, that being a child of Abraham is special, very special. We have a special place in God's family. We have the blessings promised to Abraham. And when I was in college, the man who discipled me taught me how important it was to know who you are in Christ, to be solid in your position in Christ. In fact, in our first Bible study, Jim broke down Ephesians in really two main thoughts that I've never forgotten. First is, know who you are in Christ in the first half of Ephesians. Know who you are in Christ. And second, live out that position in your life in the second half of Ephesians. I've never forgotten that how he broke down Ephesians. And I think it's so important for young Christians, it's so important for older Christians, to realize who we are in Christ, realize the special position that we have in Christ. How awesome is our position before God? If you jump down to verse 16 in Romans chapter 4, Romans 4:16 says, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, talking about Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Being a child of Abraham is special. You're special. I'm special. To borrow from VeggieTales, I listened to it a million times as the kids were growing up. God made you special, and what? He loves you very much. If you've received Christ as your Savior, if you put your trust in him, what he did for you, what he promises you, then you have been given the special place in God's family. You have a special right to be children of God. Why did God send his son to rescue us and save us from our sins? Because he loves us. Why does he love us? I really don't know. He loves us because he loves us. I don't know why. But the Bible tells us that God didn't show his love to us because we're special. In fact, it's just the opposite, right? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No, we're special because God showed his love and mercy to us. Titus 3, 4, and verse 5. Dale Hamilton shared that with us last week. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. We need to appreciate that and understand it. And that's why I think the 10 o'clock service is so important, because you're reminded of that every week. We need to appreciate our position in Christ before God. We need to be secure in that. By receiving Christ, by believing in his name, we have a special place in God's family. We're children of God. He gives us that right to become children of God. And just like a child can jump up in his or her dad's lap, we can have that same confidence in approaching God as our Father, can't we? Because of our position in Christ. What an awesome, awesome position we have in Christ. We have the right to become children of God. We're members of God's household. We're members of his family. We're declared righteous before God. Our faith in Christ is credited to us as righteousness before God, just like Abraham's faith was credited as righteousness. In verses 7 and 8 here in Romans 4, David said the same thing. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Isn't that an awesome thought? Doesn't that give you a sense of relief that I don't have to pay the penalty for my sins? Jesus did that on the cross. This morning we heard from Psalm 103. And Psalm 103 talks about, or it starts off, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I was thinking when I was looking at Psalm 103 this morning, whenever if you join a new company, one of the first things you look at are the benefits, right? And one of the things we heard read this morning is that God has taken away our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. What an awesome position we have in Christ. And that's the blessing given to Abraham. That's the blessing for children of Abraham. Anyone who trusts in the Lord just like Abraham did. That's the special blessing that we have. That God has forgiven us. That he will never count our sins against us. And instead of not counting our sins against us, he counts our faith in him as righteousness. We've been justified through faith. And since we're justified through faith, we have peace with God. What an awesome position we have. Another thought I had about what it means to be children of Abraham is this, that being children of Abraham is special, but we're not all that special. And I think we need to remember, like the Jews, to not be so proud of the fact that we're Abraham, that they thought they were Abraham's descendants and they were proud of that. We need to be careful. We need to be careful not to take our salvation for granted. We need to remember that we're not special. There's nothing in us that deserves to be children of Abraham, is there? It's all God's grace. The Jews used to take so much pride in the fact that they were children of Abraham because they were descendants of Abraham. And if you remember the heated argument that Jesus had with these Jews in John chapter 8, they protested and said, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we'll be set free? And Jesus even acknowledged, I know you're Abraham's descendants. But then he makes the distinction and he said, but you're not Abraham's children. They were Abraham's descendants, but they certainly weren't Abraham's children. If they were, they would have done the things Abraham did, and they would have believed the things that Abraham believed. Think about John the Baptist, when he had a confrontation with the Jews. in Luke chapter 3, verse 8, John the Baptist said to the Jews, "And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" And listen to what John the Baptist said to them. "For I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." Out of stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Dead, lifeless stones. God can even make them children of Abraham if he wanted to. There's nothing that we could have done to save ourselves from our sins. We were dead in our sins, just like dead, lifeless stones. We couldn't make ourselves alive. It was God, who is rich in mercy, who made us alive with Christ, right? It's by his grace. It's by his mercy. He gets the credit for us, not us. And so if God can raise up dead, lifeless stones to be children of Abraham, then he could raise up Gentiles like us and the worst of sinners to become children of Abraham. And it's interesting that Luke took that thought even further about God being able to raise up stones to be children of Abraham. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, we're going to celebrate that next week, the crowd of disciples were praising God in loud voices and saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And when the Pharisees heard this, they were upset. And they said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And what did Jesus say to them? "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Isn't that interesting? If God can raise up children for Abraham out of dead, lifeless stones, if he can cause dead, lifeless rocks to cry out and praise him, if he can do that with dead, lifeless stones, then he can take lost sinners, Gentiles like us, and make us children of Abraham and children of God. So we're about as special as dead, lifeless stones, aren't we? It's God's grace. It's his mercy toward us. That's what's special, that Jesus would lay down his life for us and take our punishment for our sins on the cross. That kind of love, that kind of mercy is what's special. So we need to be humble. There's nothing special about us. You're nothing special. I'm nothing special. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, familiar verses. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Not by works, so that no one can boast. Why? Because God opposes boasting. He gives grace to the humble. It's not our workmanship that saves us. It's God's workmanship. In Ephesians 2, that next verse, chapter 2, verse 10, starts out, "For we are God's workmanship." It's really set in contrast to verse 9. "Not by our works, not by our workmanship, for we are God's workmanship." No, faith plus nothing equals salvation. In fact, that equation would probably be more accurate if we put the works on the right side of the equation, right? Faith plus zero, nothing, equals salvation plus works. God created us to do good works. But we're saved because of what he did for us. Well, my last thought about what it means to be children of Abraham is this. That as children of Abraham, we have a mission, don't we? And that mission is to pass on that blessing of Abraham to others. Remember that promise that God made to Abraham? All nations will be blessed through you. Paul says in Galatians, God was announcing the gospel in advance to Abraham that he would justify the Gentiles by faith. What's God's plan? To bless all nations, all peoples on earth through his gospel. That's the blessing that has come to you if you've received his gospel. That's the blessing that has come to me by trusting in Christ. If you're a true believer in Jesus, then you're a child of Abraham. You're a child of God. You're part of the family of God. And the family business, if you will, is to bless all nations, all peoples on the earth. That's why we're here. That's God's mission for us, to pass on that blessing, first given to Abraham, and he said all nations will be blessed through you and through your descendants, through your offspring. If you've received Christ, if you've received that blessing of having all your sins forgiven, so that you don't have to worry about God punishing you for your sins or bringing up your sins, because he's already paid for our sins by having his own son die on the cross. The blessing of having our faith in him credited as righteousness, that you have a right standing before God. The blessing of being justified in God's sight. We're to pass on that blessing to other people. For children of Abraham, that's the family business, to bless all peoples on the earth. That's the Great Commission, isn't it? That's our job as children of Abraham, to be a blessing to those around us and to everyone we come in contact with. Here's a simple way to live your life as a Christian that has been taught to me, and it's just breaks it down into just two thoughts: to know Christ and to make him known to others. Let me give you a real life example of this, and it's my wife, Wendy. I think Wendy is a great model to a person who passes on blessings to other people. But about 4 years ago, Wendy asked a friend of ours, Robin, if she would like to meet every week to read and discuss the Bible. And Robin's been a blessing to us because she's been the teacher of all of our kids, kindergarten and first grade. She's taught all of our kids at our elementary school, and she's become a great friend also. Well, for the past 4 years, Wendy and Robin have met every week at Panera Bread, and they've gone through the Gospel of John. They've gone through the Book of Acts. They've gone through some other Bible studies also. And I'm not sure when it happened, but Robin eventually started, I think, understand the gospel. And she trusted in Christ as her personal Savior. And they still meet every week. And last year, toward the end of the year, right before Christmas, Wendy and Robin decided, hey, let's host an evangelistic Bible study leading up to Christmas. And so they invited some other teachers at our elementary school. And I think about five or six other teachers came. And they met, I think it was every 2 weeks maybe, or every week. But they met in our home leading up to Christmas. It was a little evangelistic Bible study. And a few of the people that came actually told them what an impact that study had on them. And I just thought, that's a real-life example of passing on the blessing of Abraham, blessing others with the gospel. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. That's the way God wants us to live, isn't it? To know Christ and to make him known to others. That's why we're here. Otherwise, it'd be a lot easier for us to praise the Lord in heaven and not even be here. But God wants us here because he wants us to pass on the blessing first given to Abraham, the blessing that we've received if we've trusted Christ. He wants us to pass on that blessing to others, to know Christ and to make him known to others. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for how you have blessed us with the good news. We were lost in our sins, and you rescued us. We were truly guilty before you, and you've taken away our sins. And by just simply trusting in you, just like Abraham did, that you not only take away our sins, but you credited us as righteous in your sight. Lord, we just thank you that you love us that much. And we thank you for your plan of salvation, to bring that blessing of salvation to all peoples on this earth. And we thank you for the great commission that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help me and help each of us to live by that. to get to know you better, to know Christ, and to make him known to others, and to help others to come to know Christ, and to come to experience that blessing. Lord, thank you for your blessing. Thank you that we are part of your family, and we have that blessing. Lord, I pray that you would use us to pass that along to others. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.